By listening to this audio, you are agreeing to the terms and conditions found on drmackenziebrooks.com.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Mackenzie Brooks here. Welcome to Chapter 1 of your chosen web workshop for women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, Women's Work Quickening, A Call to Action, brought to you by drmackenziebrooks.com, your source for continuous development and lifelong learning. Each of the 13 Cherry Pits for Our Minds has been handpicked by me from the many thousands of hours of conversational journeys that I have had and continue to have with the most incredible women as their coach, counselor, and workshop facilitator. I chose the name Web Workshop intentionally. During each chapter, I will be stopping at different points in my presentation and inviting you to reflect upon certain questions. When I do, you might want to pause the recording while you reflect upon your thoughts and start it again when you're ready. You might consider having something close at hand that you can use to write down your thoughts. I am inviting you to think of our time together as an online workshop. And now, I would like to introduce you to Cherry Pit Number 1. Cherry Pit Number 1 is, we learn what we live and live what we learn until we do something about it. We learn what we live and live what we learn until we do something about it. Over the many years, as I engaged in coaching, counseling, and workshop conversations with both women and men, I began to notice reoccurring themes emerging when in conversation with women. One of the reoccurring themes that emerge during the conversational journeys with women goes something like this. I'm the only one who feels this way. I'm the only one who thinks this way. And I'm the only one who acts this way. And if anyone else sees how different I am from them, if anyone else discovers this about me, they will not respect me. They will judge me. I won't be liked. And I will be rejected. Each woman, in one way or another, to one degree or another, would express some variation of this theme that somehow there was something unique about her, something about her that made her different from others. And this uniqueness, this difference that she was expressing in regards to herself, that in her mind set her apart from others, was clearly not, in her view of the world, a good thing. In fact, it usually meant that there was something wrong with her. One of the things that I've learned from these many conversational journeys with these incredible women is that when we women think to ourselves that I'm the only one, that generally, not always, that generally means one thing, which is, there's something wrong with me. And when we think that there's something wrong with us, that leads to a certain set of thoughts, a certain set of feelings, and a certain set of behaviors, all designed to try and hide what we think is wrong with us. When we women come together in the same room, we check each other out. We look each other over. We evaluate each other. We judge each other. Who's thinner? Who's prettier? Who's older? Who's younger? Who's more successful? Who's more confident? Who's more capable? And based on these judgments, we assess who is better than us and who we are better than. And these assessments impact how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about each other, how we treat ourselves, and how we treat each other. When one woman checks out another woman, we often think thoughts like, she's got it all together, why don't I? Now we all know the answer to that question, and the answer of course is, there's something wrong with me. And of course, there's the flip side of that coin. We look each other over and think to ourselves, I have it more together than her. I'm prettier. I'm thinner. I'm younger. I have more money. And we make a judgment that we are better than whichever woman it is that we're looking at. And these judgments impact how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about the other woman, how we treat ourselves, and how we treat the other woman. And the woman that we are judging knows that we are judging her, doesn't she? Don't you know when another woman is judging you? And in her judgment, you are coming up wanting? You are coming up inadequate in some way? You are coming up not good enough in some way? As we all know, the judgments that we make about each other can be pretty harsh. And the flip side of that coin is that the judgments we make about ourselves are equally harsh, generally more so. I'm inviting you to take a moment and reflect upon the thoughts I have been sharing with you. You do know when you're being judged, don't you? And you do know when you are judging another woman, don't you? We all know how it feels to be in the presence of someone who is judging us as not being good enough, as not being something enough, don't we? I'm going to stop now and invite you to reflect upon the following questions. Before I do, I want you to know that I'm inviting you to pay attention to the thoughts that enter your mind when I ask each question, and to observe and reflect upon and entertain these thoughts. Please observe these thoughts objectively and without judgment. Question number one. I'm inviting you to remember and reflect upon a time when you have judged another woman. Where were you? Who were you judging? How did you know that you were judging her? What thoughts did you have? How did it make you feel? Would you do anything different now? Question number two. Now I'm inviting you to take a moment and reflect upon a time when you knew you were being judged by another woman and coming up wanting in some way. Who was doing the judging? How did you know that you were being judged as less than? How did it make you feel? Now I ask you, if each of us was the only one who thought and felt that there was something wrong with me, how is it possible that I was able to hear and identify this reoccurring theme emerging from woman to woman? And if each of us was the only one who thought and felt that there was something different about me, how is it possible that I could handpick 13 cherry pits for our minds from a whole basketful of many other cherry pits for this web workshop for women? The answer, of course, is obvious. On the inside, we women are more alike than we are different. I'm going to repeat that. On the inside, we women are more alike than we are different. How can something be different in one of us? How can something be wrong in one of us when all women to one degree or another operate from similar systems of thoughts and are describing similar experiences? Realizing that you are not the only one, to realizing that you've never been the only one, to realizing that, and I'm going to include me in this, we in this, for we're all women in this together, to realizing that we cannot be the only one, for all of us, to one degree or another, are living with similar systems of thought. So in fact, none of us, not one of us, is the only one. We only think that we are. Some of us are more aware that we have these thoughts. Some of us are less aware that we have these thoughts. And some of us are completely unaware that we have these thoughts, depending on where we are in our life's journey and what our life experience has included. I'm advocating the thought seed that there is nothing wrong with any of us, regardless of how each of us may think and feel. I'm advocating the thought that there's just something happening, and what is happening for each of us is similar to what is happening for every other woman. Somehow, many of us women have come to believe that there is something wrong with us, and we do everything we can to hide whatever it is that we think is wrong with us. Some of us spend a great deal of time and energy engaged in these efforts. What became clear to me is that we women have patterns of thinking that are more similar than they are different from each other, and that how and what we think is learned. And given that how we think and what we think is learned, that means we can do something about it. That means we can change it. That means we can learn something different. Something more in alignment with who and how we desire to be at this stage in our life's journey. More in alignment with who and how we choose to be at this stage in our life's journey. More in alignment with who we are meant to be at this stage in our life's journey. And more in alignment with who we are being called to be and to do at this stage in our life's journey. I'm often asked, how did cherry pits for our minds come into being? As I stated earlier, I began to recognize themes emerging within the content of the conversational journeys which I have had and continue to have the honor and privilege of walking with women, whether as their coach, counselor, and workshop facilitator. Each of these women had something happening in their lives that they wanted to talk about. Some women were entrepreneurs and knew that they could not stay the same and grow and sustain the business that they were building. They knew that they had to learn new ways of thinking and acting. What I observed that was similar between women is that each woman wanted something to be different in her life. Some women wanted something they did not have yet. Some women wanted less of something they already had. Some women wanted something that they currently had in their lives gone and wanted to seek out something else to replace it. A reoccurring theme was that each woman wanted to talk about change. Each woman was choosing change over staying the same. And each woman found herself to some degree repeating what she did not want and missing out on achieving what she did want. What became clear to me as I joined each of these women in our conversational journeys together was that each woman has what I call life learnings, which are missing from what is currently programmed into our GPS for life. Seeking out these life learnings is the doorway into change, which we each yearn for, which we each hunger for, which we each desire. And our continuous development and lifelong learning is the pathway to these chosen life learnings, to this desired change. What also became clear to me was that these life learnings, what I call cherry pits for our minds, reside within our thinking, reside within how, we think, and what we think. The first cherry pit, as you now know, is we learn what we live and live what we learn until we do something about it. We learn what we live and live what we learn until we do something about it. We have no choice about learning what we live. It's just how we're made. We learn what we live because that's the way our brain works. Our brain is like our own global positioning system, what I call our GPS for life. And what is awesome is that we are born with one built in. We are not to blame, nor are we responsible for what we learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life as we journey through our childhood. We are responsible, though, now that we're adults, for what we do with what we have learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life as we journey through our childhood. As children, we learn, download, and program into our GPS for life, among other things, a combination of thoughts, beliefs, opinions, and judgments about ourselves, about other people, about the world around us, and about life. What may not be so awesome for some of us is that what we learn, download, and program into our brain, into our global positioning system for life, into our GPS for life, is pretty much dependent upon those folks who are around us as we journey through our childhood, is pretty much dependent upon their thoughts, their beliefs, their opinions, their judgments, how they treat us, how they treat others, and what our life experiences include as we journey through our childhood. And as a result, we really do not have a choice about what actually ends up being learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life. And the GPS for life of those folks who were around us as we journeyed through our childhood, who in essence programmed our GPS for life, well, the reality is that their GPS for life has also been programmed in the same way as ours, by the beliefs and the actions of those folks who were around them as they journeyed through their childhood. And the GPS for life of those programmers, in turn, have been programmed by the beliefs and actions of those folks who were around them as they journeyed through their childhood. And so on it goes, back into the distant past. Most of us are now familiar enough with global positioning systems to know that a GPS is only as useful, is only as reliable, and is only as effective as the information provided, as the information programmed into it by those who program it. The same holds true for our global positioning system for life. The effectiveness of our GPS for life is completely dependent upon the programmers who were around us as we journeyed through our childhood. Some of the beliefs we learn, download, and program into our GPS for life have to do with how worthwhile, how valuable, how lovable, how competent, and how capable we believe we are. And as women, are we strong? Are we smart? Are we likable? Are we lovable? What happens when we women find our voice and we speak up? Will people love us if we're not nice? Will people like us if we say what we really feel and think? Can we make happen what we want to make happen? Can we do it on our own? Can we do it with each other? Other beliefs that are learned, downloaded, and programmed into our global positioning system for life, into our GPS for life, are about the people around us. Are they trustworthy? Are they dependable? Are they reliable? Will people look out for us? Will people have our backs? Will people support us in learning how to successfully navigate in the world that we find ourselves currently living in? Are people safe to be around? Do people say what they do and do what they say? Still more of the beliefs that are learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life include how we feel about the world we live in and about life, including whether we can make sense of what is happening in the world around us. Is there a predictable order to how life works, providing us with the tools necessary for learning how to experience mastery, belonging, and knowing how to fit in when we choose to do so? And whether there are transparent, consistent, and explicit roadmaps specifying learnable rules for engagement and code of conduct required for success in life's endeavors. This complex system of beliefs that we learned, download, and program into our GPS for life becomes our cognitive map. This complex system of beliefs that we learn, download, and program into our GPS for life becomes our operating system through which we navigate our life in the world around us. It is our operating system for life. Through it, we live what we learn. It is through this complex system of beliefs that we have learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life as we journey through our childhood that we now live what we have learned. None of us are responsible for, and none of us have a choice about, the system of beliefs currently programmed into our GPS for life. Often, we're completely unaware that we even have a GPS for life, and that this system of operating beliefs even exists. As we grow older, though, many of us come to realize that there is a connection between what we have learned and not learned as children, and how we think, feel, and behave as adults. We realize that our thoughts and actions have an impact on our lives. We become aware that there are some things that we've learned that bring about our chosen and desired outcomes. And we become aware that there are some things we've learned that bring about unchosen and undesired outcomes. We also discover that there is much that we didn't learn, which would have been very useful had we known about it sooner. For some of us, this realization only occurs when the learning programmed into our GPS for life results in us losing something important in our lives, such as a relationship, a job, an opportunity, our finances, our health, our reputation. It is often when we are reflecting upon and dealing with these difficult life circumstances that we are quickened into the awareness that we do have a GPS for life, and that what is programmed into our GPS for life is driving our thoughts, our choices, our decisions, our actions, and is often not only unexamined, it is often unconscious learning from our childhood. Essentially, it is when we become aware that the cost of staying the same is much greater than the price of learning a different way, when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of changing, when what we have learned is responsible for bringing into our lives that which we do not desire and is responsible for painfully losing that which we do desire and have worked hard to bring into our lives. It is at these moments that we may begin to do some type of cost-benefit analysis, some type of life assessment. This is often when a client will show up in my office. These are the times when we open our thoughts to seeking out a coach, a counselor, perhaps to join forces with us, to seek out and put legs under the change that we now desire. Over the years, I've heard many variations of the following statements. I no longer want what I learned in my childhood to drive how I live my life now. I want to live the life that I desire. I want to take charge of what is learned, downloaded, and programmed into my GPS for life. I want to have choice. These moments of awareness, the realization that it's what we are doing and not doing that is getting us what we don't desire rather than what we do desire, can be transformed into a window of opportunity, a window of choice. These aha moments present us with an opportunity to reflect upon and consciously choose how we want to live our lives. The reality is that our GPS for life, as with any GPS, requires constant updating as we journey through our life and find ourselves in different situations, desired and undesired, chosen and unchosen. It is within these moments of awareness that life presents us with the opportunity to assess and choose what is actually programmed into our GPS for life. Fortunately, we can do something about what we have learned and about what we want to learn. We have choice. Whether we are aware of it or not, whether we are conscious of it or not, we have choice. Each of us has to decide what to do with the choice that we have. When we are unaware that we have choice, we are unknowingly making a choice. Opening the doorway into conscious choice resides within our choice to seek a path of lifelong learning and personal development. It is only then that we can begin to take charge of our lives, our businesses, and our careers. It is only then that we can consciously choose to seek out our chosen learning and do the work necessary for taking charge of programming our own GPS for life, for learning, downloading, and programming into our GPS for life that which we choose, that which is in alignment with who we are and seek to be at this stage in our life's journey. While none of us are responsible for, nor have a choice about, learning what we live, we are responsible for and have a choice about what we do with what we've learned. We can identify the things we've learned that are working for us and keep doing them. Since we learned what we think and believe now, we can also learn to think and believe differently, more in alignment with who and what we currently desire in our lives. We can replace what is not working. And we can learn what is missing. Our history does not have to be our destiny. Our history does not have to be our destiny. We can choose to leave our history in our past, out of our present and our future. We can update our GPS for life so that our history informs rather than drives how we live our lives. We can choose to do what we need to do, to learn what we need to learn, in order to learn how to become programmers for our own GPS for life. We can choose to seek out the change we desire and position ourselves in the experiences that we require, which will provide us with the opportunity to learn what we desire to learn, to update into our own GPS for life, to be more in alignment with who we are at this time in our life's journey, to be more in alignment with who we seek to be at this stage in our life's journey, to be more in alignment with who we are born on this earth to be, and to be more in alignment with who we are being called to be and do. A first step in learning how to become programmers for our own GPS for life is to assess what is currently learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life. We can assess what is working, what is not working, and what is missing from our GPS for life. One way to do this assessment is to ask ourselves questions. I'm going to stop now and invite you to reflect upon the following questions. Before I do, I want to remind you that I'm inviting you to pay attention to the thoughts that enter your mind when I ask each question, and to observe, reflect upon, and entertain these thoughts. Please observe these thoughts objectively and without judgment. It's important for us to remember that we have no choice about learning, downloading, and programming what we live into our GPS for life as we journey through our childhood. We are not to blame, nor are we responsible for what has been programmed into our GPS for life. We are responsible, though, and do have a choice about what we do with what we have learned now that we are adults. Which is what you are now doing by participating in Cherry Pits for Our Minds. Based on what is currently happening in your life, in your business, in your career, assess for yourself how your current GPS for life is working for you by asking yourself the following questions. The first set of questions is, based on what is currently happening in your life, in your business, in your career, what is working? How do you know it is working? Where and when is it working? The second set of questions is, based on what is currently happening in your life, in your business, in your career, what is not working? How do you know it is not working? Where and when is it not working? Did it ever work? If yes, when did it change? What changed? What do you think would work? What thoughts do you have about what would work? The third set of questions is, based on what is currently happening in your life, in your business, in your career, what is missing from what you have learned? How do you know it is missing? How is what is missing affecting your life? What do you need to learn? The last question is, how can you learn what you need to learn to address what is missing? I am inviting you to please repeat these questions over and over and over again until you gain the clarity that you are seeking. I am now inviting you to reflect upon three additional questions. Just a little heads up here. I will be asking you to reflect upon these three questions in each of the following chapters. Question number one. How come this cherry pit number one, and the thoughts that I have shared with you are important? Question number two. How come this cherry pit and the thoughts that I have shared with you are important to me? And the third question to ask yourself is, how come this cherry pit and these thoughts are important to women, to grandmothers, to mothers, to daughters, to sisters, to aunts? We are now at the end of chapter one of your chosen web workshop for women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, where I invited you to invite him for tea and entertain, in addition to other thoughts, the first of 13 hand-picked cherry pits. Cherry pit number one is, we learn what we live and live what we learn until we do something about it. In closing, I'm inviting you to reflect upon the thoughts that I have shared with you in this chapter. Thoughts such as, we women are more alike on the inside than perhaps we initially thought, and that we women operate to one degree or another from similar systems of thought. We are born with our GPS for life built in. We learn what we live from those around us as we journey through our childhood, and what we learn is downloaded and programmed into our GPS for life, whether we are aware of it or not. This complex system of thoughts and beliefs that we have learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life becomes the operating system through which we navigate our lives, becomes the operating system through which we live our lives. It is through this complex system of thoughts and beliefs that we live what we've learned. And for many of us, we are mostly unaware of what has been learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life until something happens. What happens generally involves us experiencing life situations that we do not desire, and losing something from our lives that we do desire. It is at these moments that we can become aware that what we have learned as we journey through our childhood is impacting our present life. We can become aware that some of what we have learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life is working for us, some is not working for us, and there are gaps in what we have learned. While we are not responsible for what we learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life as we journey through our childhood, we are responsible for what we do with what we have learned now that we are adults. These aha moments open the door to the freeing and empowering thought that we can take charge of what is now learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life, that we can actually become our own programmers and seek out learning that is more in alignment with who we are now and who we choose to be now at this stage in our life's journey. A GPS for life, as with any GPS, is only as useful as the accuracy of the information programmed into it. Our past does not have to be our destiny. A first step in learning how to become our own programmers is to begin assessing what is currently programmed into our GPS for life. One way to assess what is currently programmed into our GPS for life is to ask ourselves questions. Three questions I shared with you included: what is working, what is not working, and what is missing. I'm inviting you to invite these thoughts in for tea and to entertain these thoughts as you would a guest, knowing that these thoughts will leave, as all guests eventually do, and perhaps you might reflect upon these thoughts. Perhaps you might entertain these thoughts for yourself so that you can assess for yourself whether or not these thoughts resonate for you, whether or not these thoughts fit for you, whether or not these thoughts work for who and where you are at this time in your life's journey, given who you choose to be and given who you were born to be here on this earth at this time. And if these thoughts do resonate for you, if these thoughts do fit for you, if these thoughts do work for you, then perhaps you might consider asking them to stay. I thank you for joining with me as I reflect upon these hand-picked cherry pits for our minds. Goodbye for now.